Welcome in to the Wrestling Brethren Podcast. This is episode 372. I'm your host, Josh Wiener. With me tonight is Seth Zillman. Jarrett is out on assignment. Tonight we'll be talking about wrestling news, WWE SmackDown, AEW Rampage, and Collision. So, before we get started, Seth, how the hell are you?
Well, it is January. I'm finally adjusting to this new, more frequent schedule and ready to talk some wrestling. So here we go.
All right. Yes, it is January. We are slowly crawling ourselves out of the deep freeze and snow. And hey, it's only 11 days till February. All right. So two injury updates are at the top of our news, and actually they are our only news, but that's neither here nor there. Seth Rollins, we said if we heard something, we would report it, and Fightful Select reported on Friday that Seth Rollins has a torn MCL and a partially torn meniscus. It is not known if he needs surgery or not at this point, or if it's known and has not been announced. What has been announced is he will kick off Monday Night Raw in less than 48 hours with an update on his status and his future as World Heavyweight Champion. So that is must-see TV.
Yeah, all the best to him again. He definitely has that history of knee problems, so I hope for his sake that this is something he's going to be able to gut through without surgery. My hunch is if they are doing it as an announcement, that it is probably going to be something more long-term, i.e. he may have to go away for a few months. And again, I hope for his sake that's not the case, because that means missing out on WrestleMania, not only for the wrestling in front of how many thousands of people, but that's also got to be a huge payday loss as well. I would think, if it's possible, try to gut it through, get it through Mania, drop the title, and then get whatever procedure you need done and take the time off after that. Then you got a naturally made story when you return. So hopefully, like I said, it's not something that's going to keep him on the shelf for long, but we won't have to wait too long to find out.
Yeah. My only concern is if how much gutting through he's going to actually do. I mean, he could, but I don't know how believable it would be for him to just sit around and cut promos from now until April. So right. We'll have to see what his announcement is and take it from there, I guess. The other injury update is one Kenneth Omega on his diverticulitis. He was dealing with severe pain leading up to him going to the hospital, thinking that maybe he had another hernia that he dealt with in 2022 and had bloating because of a bad diet. Dave Meltzer reported in the Wrestling Observer newsletter that Omega has still not had surgery because the inflammation was so bad he couldn't make the decision whether to have the operation. The decision will be made in about 7 weeks, whether he will need surgery based on how he's healing. Should Omega get the surgery, he will be out for obviously much longer.
Have to wait 7 weeks for a surgery. Wow, that seems like a long time. I mean, I had something similar. Obviously, it was not nearly as bad, but I had a mild surgery. I mean, I was still in the hospital for a couple of days, but I basically had this plastic tube sticking out of my gut that, sorry for a bad visual, but would then suck out black fluid out of my gut. If you can imagine something black fluid running out of your system. But after that was done, I mean, it was a couple, maybe a week or two, and I was back to normal. So it sounds like whatever I had is very microscopic compared to whatever he's dealing with, but I just can't see how he has to wait 7 months. But I'm no doctor, or 7 weeks. I'm no doctor. But again, like for Rollins, all the best to him. Speedy and painless recovery, because he was gone for like a year after dropping the title. So Hopefully won't have to be out nearly as long this time around.
Yeah, it seems to be, you know, I don't want to say they're injury prone. I think they just have bad luck with various injuries. Mm-hmm. And Kenny kind of just, you want to talk about gutting stuff out. I think Kenny just went on a tear of like matches with high match quality while he was AEW champion. And just, I think his body just told him to fuck off after a while.
I mean, yeah, because he was world champion in three different companies at the same time. And that's, you know, I know obviously the business is predetermined, but to have a title in three different companies that are basically in three different countries, that's impressive, no matter what way you slice it. But yeah, the injuries just catch up to you.
So as we said, hopefully speedy recoveries to both men. Moving on to SmackDown from January 19th. I will touch on the important highlights. Won't be covering everything, but the important highlights, and then we can have a quick discussion. The show led off with the fatal four-way contract signing for the WWE Universal Undisputed Lord of the Rings, whatever championship they're calling it. We had the three participants come down and as challengers and sign the contract. This was an interesting contract signing, and it didn't end in any physicality with the table, as this is usually to happen. But the first challenger came down, signed it, second signed it, third signed it. So we had three signatures, and Roman's music played. Paul Heyman comes out and says, essentially, Roman will not be signing the contract. He hasn't seen it. Paul hasn't seen it, so he will not be signing the contract. And Paul goes to walk away, and Nick Aldis goes, so just to be clear, Roman's not going to sign this contract. And he says, well, you tell Roman that is absolutely fine, because I have three signed participants who are all in agreement to have this match, and I'll just make it a triple threat for the vacant Universal Undisputed Championship. And Paul does a 180 and heads to the ring with a lot of purpose, and basically there's a lot of posturing that goes on, and AJ and LA get into it, and Randy just sits in the background and watches. And essentially AJ and Knight brawl, and Orton tells Heyman that he can go tell Roman that tonight he takes out Solo, and then he's coming for his title. Next, we had Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne defeat Pretty Deadly. The return
not Butch
Pete Dunne character, yes. We had the KO show with special guest Logan Paul. I've heard this was a good segment. I saw the segment. I just don't care for Logan Paul, and I could care less. The team of K Squared, as I call them, the champions of the women's tag team titles, defeated the unholy union of Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. Bailey was on commentary wearing a mommy t-shirt, and the Kabuki Warriors stare down the champs afterwards, and we're getting that match next week. Earlier in the night, but after the fatal four-way contract signing, AJ came up to Nick Aldis backstage demanding LA Knight in the ring tonight. He granted it. That match happened, and LA Knight defeated AJ Styles via disqualification after Solo hits the Samoan Spike on both men. And in the main event, Randy Orton defeated Solo Sikoa with an RKO. There was some brawling, and all the participants in the Royal Rumble main event got involved, and Roman comes out, signs the contract, and then goes to hit a spear on a dazed Randy Orton, but instead Randy catches him mid-spear with the RKO to end SmackDown. Thoughts?
Yeah, that's a cool visual. Anytime Randy gets in the RKO out of nowhere, especially as a reversal, it's a cool thing. The main question I have as far as the angle with the four-way is, they say that he'll be stripped of the title if he doesn't sign the contract that he hasn't supposedly read. Now, I get from a storytelling point of view and from a heel point of view, that could have been them meaning Roman and Heyman, saying, well, they're just not going to look at the contract because they're in protest of this happening. But then it's like, how can you strip somebody for not signing a contract? You know, that seems a little odd, but I mean, maybe there's the 30-day clause that they never use. But I just think it's kind of funny that they would strip him for not signing a contract that he didn't even read. That just seems odd, but stranger things have happened in the wrestling world. So I'm not complaining. It's just, it's one of those red flags that kind of goes up from a storytelling standpoint. But yeah, good action, good ending, like I said. So nothing really to complain about.
Yeah, I think everything's moving in a good enough pace, but at the same time, as has been mentioned before, kind of in a mini holding pattern until we get to the Rumble. This was another one of those shows where Roman showed up, didn't do much. But there was a post SmackDown social media post from Roman Reigns where he said he doesn't like Nick Aldis and he's going to fix Nick Aldis, I guess, to come around to his way of thinking. So that should be interesting moving forward.
Yeah, because I don't think Nick has even announced any sort of formal in-ring retirement. So it's possible he may wrestle in WWE.
Yeah, I think he's just trying to establish his character there first.
Yeah.
So I'd be okay with that. Mm-hmm. Moving on to AEW Rampage, also from last night, January 19th. Chris Jericho defeated Matt Sydal. Afterwards, there was a pull-apart brawl between Jericho and Takeshita. Penta El Zero Miedo defeated Anthony Henry. Chris Statlander defeated Queen Aminata, who's been busy as of late. And Darby Allin defeated Jeff Hardy, where it was described as Darby Allin doing Darby Allin things.
Yeah, I remember several years back, I think it was shortly after Jeff made his AEW debut, he had a match with Darby, and supposedly it was difficult for Jeff to keep up to the point where he's like, yeah, maybe I better stop doing these high dives. But who knows, maybe he's just in a better place now, especially having that time off. But one of the things that shows just how good Callis is at what he does is during that Jericho match, it's like Jericho was clearly just turning to get on the ring ropes or do a springboard or something to that effect. But anytime Jericho turned towards the announce desk, Callis would run away. That's like perfect heel 101 stuff, you know, for me. But other than that, I mean, it really wasn't anything major on the show. It seems like they both AEW shows were kind of match heavy. But, you know, predictability is not a bad thing necessarily when it comes to, as long as it's coming to logical conclusions.
I agree. The only other story coming out of Rampage was Chris Statlander was accompanied by Stokely Hathaway, and they did a bit later on where it was revealed that Willow Nightingale's plane trip was canceled. Mm-hmm. And Stokely goes, I have no idea who canceled it. And so I don't know where they're going with the storyline, but it's kind of borderline for me.
Yeah. How do you cancel somebody else's flight?
Right. Yeah. Let's get into the security measures of that. All right. AEW Collision that took place earlier tonight. Thunder Rosa defeated Queen Aminata. John Moxley defeated Shane Taylor. Cuts a promo on the rest of the roster saying if you want to battle him or come close to him in 2024, you need to keep the hell up with him. And Powerhouse Hobbs accepts his backhanded challenge on Twitter. So I am definitely interested in a Powerhouse Hobbs John Moxley match. That's for sure.
That sounds like a great match. And by the way, after that third defeat of Queen Amidala or whatever her name is, I heard she's being downgraded to princess. So
Adam Copeland defeated Dante Martin in the latest open challenge. Daniel Garcia defeated the House of Black's Buddy Matthews. Afterwards, FTR and Daniel Garcia challenge the House of Black to a six-man tag elimination match inside a steel cage for next week on Collision. So that
okay. should be yeah, interesting, especially since if it's an elimination match and you get pinned, what if you don't leave the match?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's just weird.
We'll never know how it plays out because that'll be during the Royal Rumble. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. I guess that's why they made DVR.
Yeah.
And in the main event, Bryan Danielson and Claudio Castagnoli defeated Eddie Kingston and Ortiz. After the match, Bryan Danielson takes the mic and tells Eddie he won't be Triple Crown champion for long, and then spits in his face. Not very babyface-like from Bryan Danielson, but that is how Collision went off the air.
Yeah, I think what has been going on with the BCC, I hate to use the word tweener because it seems to be what the kids like to use these days, but I think it's just one of those where they're kind of the heel or the babyface depending on who they're going up against. But that's going to be a heck of a match. Eddie and Danielson are 1-1. I'm assuming that was Danielson's challenge for the championships.
I would imagine, yeah.
Yeah, and again, it goes to get back to the logical conclusion thing, is when I heard that it was Danielson, Claudio against Eddie and Ortiz, I'm like, okay, Ortiz is the one that's losing, which is exactly what happened. But again, it just fits with the logic. It works with the story. It definitely does make me interested in seeing another rematch, because I'm assuming that'll be for all three titles. But yeah, bring the match on, I say.
Generally speaking, he's only defending the Continental Crown title. I think the other two are saved for their respective promotions, but we'll have to see.
Which would make sense, yeah.
Yeah. Two other things that came out after Collision. Tony Khan tweeted, and calm down, everybody, it was actually sensical and it was not directed at WWE, but Tony Khan tweeted afterwards saying the rankings are coming back to AEW going forward starting this month. So the rankings that we bemoaned that disappeared are making a return.
Well, I always liked the ranking idea. I think where they were running into trouble, and I don't know if they'll keep doing this, but I think where the trouble came from was having the actual one loss record and the math being where you rank on the list, because otherwise you had things like FTR who were champions in three different companies and didn't lose at all and were number two forever, but never got a title shot for the AEW titles out of it. And then you'd have so many people that were just leapfrogging over to get title shots. So I like the rankings. They don't necessarily have to go by the one loss record. You know, you can just fudge who's going to be deemed the number one or number two contender based on who you're trying to push. I think if they do that, because then they can do things like quality of opposition. Well, yeah, this person's on a 10-match winning streak, but they haven't beaten anybody of note.
Right.
You know, that's how they can get around that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like the ranking system, so I'm glad to see it come back.
And the other thing that came out of Collision was Adam Copeland had mentioned that he finds it interesting that his open challenges have been answered by young up-and-comers or youngsters, and he's just wondering why all the veterans haven't stepped to him yet. And so,
fair point.
So with that, this Wednesday on Dynamite, we are getting a veteran answering the open challenge, and it will be Adam Copeland versus Minoru Suzuki on Dynamite.
Wow. That's interesting.
Never before seen, never before happened. So
can you imagine being told a year ago that we're going to get Edge versus Minoru Suzuki?
Yeah. Especially after the matches he had with Jericho.
Yeah.
So I'm actually looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. And those are the three shows from the weekend. Next week will be interesting because WWE will be running their go-home shows for the Rumble. That includes NXT. Not technically a go-home, but a go-home because we could get some appearances in the Rumble. Could get some call-ups.
I'd be surprised if we don't get at least one NXT person in the Rumble.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We'll have to see how the Seth Rollins thing plays out. Dynamite is becoming a stacked show for Wednesday. I don't know how stacked much more beyond the elimination cage match they're going to make Collision for fighting with Rumble happening simultaneously. But we'll have to see. So things will definitely play out over the next 7 days, and it'll set the path for WrestleMania. Any other thoughts tonight, Seth?
No, good weekend of wrestling. So I'm really looking forward to the Rumble. It's one of my favorite things every year. And very thankful for Pat Patterson for giving us it in the first place.
Yeah, they did give him a little vignette on Friday. I guess Friday would have been his birthday. And they did acknowledge him as the creator of the Royal Rumble. So we will be back on Tuesday with our Raw and NXT review and news, and hopefully it will be all for the better and nothing too serious as far as those injuries go. But until then, once again, thank you for listening, downloading, and subscribing, and we will talk to you next time. Thank you for listening to this episode. You can subscribe to the Wrestling Brethren podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast fix to hear the latest discussion from the Wrestling Brethren. Visit the mothership, if you will, at twbpodcast.com, the online home of the Wrestling Brethren podcast. Let us know your thoughts, questions, and comments on Twitter/X at twbpshow, on Facebook at facebook.com/behindthesquaredcircle, and on Instagram at The Wrestling Brethren. You can follow Jarrett on Twitter/X at TheBaconRev. You can follow Seth at Lord Xandrax, and you can follow Josh at SouthpawJosh. Thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you soon with more from The Wrestling Brethren.